Appeals is now in session. Judge Houghton, Judge Riley, Judge Smith, the Honorable Carol A. Houghton presiding.
Thank you. Please be seated. Good morning. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. The first matter we have on our oral calendar this morning is the case of Hussein versus Musa. And counsel, you each have 15 minutes for your oral argument. The appellant will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Please introduce yourself prior to beginning your oral arguments, and you may adjust the podium as you desire according to your height. With that, the appellant may proceed at this time.
Good morning. Robert Manson appearing on behalf of Appellant Awal Hussein. Your Honor, we have a number of serious concerns with the decision of the trial court in this matter. One of the primary concerns deals with the court's award of sole legal custody to the mother. In this particular case, I think that's also compounded by the court's advising my client that he had the burden of proof in this case, which I think was inappropriately stated, as this was, in fact, an initial determination of custody, not a modification of custody.
So we have. Well, was this the first court determination of custody in this matter?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
So there had never been a parenting plan before?
No, Your Honor, not between these parties. This was an initial initial petition for custody and parenting time, Your Honor. So we have some serious concerns with the court advising my client that it was his burden of proof, because that is not an appropriate recitation. Further, Your Honor, when we look at the evidence presented to the court, it really doesn't support the court's findings and certainly not the court's conclusions of law. My client
obviously our standard of review with regard to the findings is whether the findings are clearly erroneous. Can you point us to any specific finding that you're referring to here that you believe is clearly erroneous?
Your Honor, I think the finding that the mother would allow parenting time with the appellant and the minor child would be clearly erroneous.
Which finding is that? What page? I'm looking at the order right now.
Actually, my apologies, Your Honor. In looking at this, the biggest concern we have, Your Honor, is that really most of the factors are actually very neutral in this matter. The court's finding, I think, on the sole legal custody seems to rest more on the finding that father has not been in the child's life, and that alone.
It seems to, I'm looking at page 6 of the order, paragraph H. I think the judge was really concerned about your client's proposal to move Aisha from Seattle, severing contact with her mother, stepfather, half-brother, any other relationships she has in Minnesota, and that was one of the factors that weighed strongly against your client.
I think that certainly would go to the physical custody, not the legal custody position, Your Honor. I think the primary concern here is that overall we believe that the court made an inappropriate decision, in that the evidence really pointed to mother interfering with father's relationship with the minor child.
Well, and the court found that neither parent wanted the other parent to have a relationship.
And I think that really doesn't match the testimony, Your Honor. My client did testify that he did want the mother to have a relationship with the child. I think his concern was primarily that the mother was not allowing him to have any contact with the minor child, to see the minor child, and that was actually borne out by the custody evaluation in that.
I want to go back to something you said a couple minutes ago. So in your brief, you say that the trial court erred in awarding both legal and physical custody. When I asked about that one fact, you said, well, that goes to physical, not legal. Are you still contesting both findings, or are you just contesting legal custody?
We're contesting both, Your Honor, but to be candid, the legal custody, I think, is one of the stronger arguments, to be very honest and candid
with
the court.
Well, let's go to that, because the only, the finding, and I think you would agree that in order to have joint legal custody, they need to have some way of communicating and cooperating. And the judge found in paragraph L that the parents are not willing nor are they able to cooperate in the rearing of the child. It's unlikely that the parents have the ability to utilize constructive methods for resolving disputes, and this factor is neutral. So,
and again,
is that finding clearly erroneous?
Your Honor, I believe in the circumstances it is. My client did indicate that he certainly had a willingness to do so, that he wanted to co-parent with the mother, that he did want to have that communication, Your Honor. So I think that is erroneous based upon his testimony as to a finding that he was unwilling to do so. I think the concern here is that the mother engaged in active alienation of the child from the father, that her actions were to stymie any contact, any communication. She even canceled planned visits with the custody evaluator so the custody evaluator couldn't see the minor child with the father. So I do think that that is clearly erroneous based upon the testimony before the court.
I ask you this? I mean, wasn't the child in Minnesota for a period of 6 years?
The child has been in Minnesota for a period of 6 years, yes,
and,
Your Honor.
And has been solely with the mother during that six-year period?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Is there anything in the record that indicates the father at any time tried to visit the child in Minnesota?
I believe that there is some testimony. I apologize, Your Honor. I can't point specifically to it, but I know the father had indicated that he had desired to see the child. And certainly when he started this action, Your Honor, it was very clear that he did want to engage and have a relationship with the minor child. So I agree there was a period of time that the minor child was not seeing my client, was with the respondent. However, it's very clear that once he filed this action, again, any contact with the minor child was just stymied by the respondent. It's very clear. It's part of the record. She didn't cooperate with the custody evaluation. She didn't cooperate with him seeing the child. She canceled those opportunities, which also hindered the custody evaluator.
I think that the record shows that between 2012 and the fall of 2017, well, let's just take that time frame. What does the record show about your client's contact with Aisha during that time?
I don't believe he had any contact. It was very limited. I think he had like one visit during that time period with the minor child, I think with the mother present. But yes, no, I would concur that the contact was very limited. But again, it would be our position that while that certainly goes to the overall view, our concern is that the court's lack of acknowledgement of the mom's behavior in limiting father's contact with the child, that really wasn't addressed by the court. While it said that neither parent supported a relationship, which again I don't feel or don't believe is supported by the testimony of my client, he did in fact support that relationship, wanted to have a co-parenting. But the court really kind of ignored that whole concept that the mother just actively withheld this child, kept the child from the father.
Counsel, is your argument then that father is entitled to sole custody, or that failure to give joint legal, legal custody? What outcome are you arguing?
Joint legal custody and sole physical, Your Honor.
Even though it seems like you're arguing that the evidence supports that there would be a lack of cooperation between the parents. You would blame mother for it, but
right.
it's still hard to see how that should result in a joint.
Well, my client's desire would be to have joint legal custody. Again, he would wish to co-parent with the mother. He would like to have, you know, a relationship with his child. Ultimately, at the end of the day, that's what he's looking for.
I want to make sure I heard you correctly. So joint legal custody to both parents, sole physical custody to your client. Is that your desired outcome?
It is, Your Honor.
Well, and I just want to, because I'm looking at finding number 9, and it says father's requesting joint legal and joint physical custody with an award of parenting time. Additionally, he's expressed to the court and to FCS that he is requesting sole legal and sole physical custody with no award of parenting time to mother.
My client did start out with one position. It does change during litigation. It's not unusual that happens. However, I believe at the time of trial, he testified that he did want to be able to co-parent with the mother. He did believe that the child, I think, would be better with him. But again, that's primarily based upon the alienation that was occurring.
Okay, so he originally started out with joint legal and joint physical, but at the time of trial, then he let that go and said, I want sole physical and sole legal.
And that, again, was based upon the alienation of the child against him throughout that process. The other concern we have is the fact that my client was provided...
Well, can I stop you there? Because you said it's because of the alienation, but that's not what the court found. The court said he makes this request because he believes that the child is not receiving the religious upbringing he believes she needs, and she misses out on her having a relationship with her older sister who lives with him in Seattle.
That certainly is one of the factors, Your Honor,
and one of
his concerns as well.
Well, but is there anything in the record that he was making this custody request of sole legal and sole physical because of alienation?
Your Honor, my apologies, I don't have the transcript open right in front of me.
Well, you can respond to what Ms. Lundgren said at page 8 of her brief, which is that appellant argues interference or alienation on appeal, but did not raise this issue at trial.
I think my client may not have used those words, but I think that was certainly a concern that was brought up at trial.
Can you point to the record where that concern was raised?
I would have to look through the transcript, Your Honor. I don't have that marked at this point in time. I would have to rely on the transcript as it is before this court.
Okay.
But I think that certainly is something that was clear from the record overall as well. And it is one of the factors that the court has to look at, is that willingness and ability to foster a relationship, and one of the best interest factors as well. And I think that the record overall does speak to the fact that Mom did block his time with the child. Our concern, too, Your Honor, again, goes to the parenting time issue as well, that the court effectively did not provide any parenting time to him. FaceTime electronic communication is not parenting time. Minnesota Statute 518.175 states that the court will order such parenting time as will allow the parent and child relationship to continue. And what? The court, in its finding, made the finding that parenting time with either parent is beneficial to the child. So the fact that she didn't order any parenting time is totally contrary to her finding that, in fact, it would benefit the child to have parenting time with either parent, and is not supported.
Well, was the presumption, the 25% presumption, raised during the trial?
You know, Your Honor, it's, in my view, I would argue that it is when somebody argues for a sole physical custody position. If I am saying I want a child to come live with me, I think it's pretty clear that I am expecting to have custody, to certainly have more than 25%. I understand that case is there from 2010.
And that's a problem because, I mean, I think you can say, you can assume that, but maybe it's either all or nothing because of the difficulties of transporting the child. I mean, I don't know that you can presume.
But it's not addressed, Your Honor. And I guess
I know, and so how can we review it? I guess that's the issue.
And that would be my concern, would be that it should be remanded to the court to address that presumption. I understand that case law is there, Your Honor. I also understand that, to be candid, I'd ask this court to overrule that particular case and even change it. It seems kind of absurd to state that I need to come in and state I want sole physical custody. And oh, by the way, just so the court knows, there's this other statute out there that says I should get at least 25%. It puts the burden on litigants, particularly pro se litigants, to essentially have to know, to kind of argue in the alternative. There's a lot of lawyers that don't know to argue that in the alternative. To be candid with this court, I was a little surprised when I got digging into some of this case law and found that it is incumbent upon us to apparently advise the court what the legal duties of the court would be.
Except the burden is always on the moving party, or usually on the moving party.
Well, except in this case, there's really not a moving party. What you do have is you do have a petition, but this is an initial determination of custody and parenting time, Your Honor. And at that point in time, the court is mandated to apply 518.17 and 518.175. And in this case, 518.175, even if we go and take the 25% out of the picture, 518.175 says that, or states that parenting time must be provided to maintain that parent-child relationship. There was no parenting time. Case law is clear. FaceTime and calling is not parenting time.
Can you Can you remind me if on the, I looked at it, but I don't recall, on a post-trial motion, was your client represented at that time?
He was, Your Honor.
Thanks. Okay.
He was, Your Honor. So, Your Honor, we are asking that the court reverse the trial court. I think there's a lot of significant concerns that need to be readdressed.
Was the presumption raised on post-trial motions?
I believe it was, and I do apologize, Your Honor. I've been looking. I believe it was at that point. But again, the case law even states that at that point in time, arguably, it's still not raised. And that's why I'd ask this court to relook at that court decision, to be very candid, because it results in some very absurd results to litigants, especially pro se litigants.
I'm not sure it was raised, at least in a written post-trial motion. I don't know if it was on a hearing, but you might want to look at that. I know you're not sure about it. Right? Yeah, okay.
Good morning. My name is Shelley Lundgren. I represent Lenza Musa in this matter. I think the court is really focusing on a lot of the things that I was focusing on in preparing for this case. And while I understand that the appellant was pro se at various times in this matter, he certainly did have the assistance of counsel. He submitted some documentation and briefs to the court that were written by counsel. I think prior to trial, there was something prepared. It clearly appeared to be prepared by someone with some legal training submitted to the court.
Well, could I ask you one question? Because
sure.
One of the main arguments made is that allowing Skyping and telephone contact is not parenting time. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. However, Mr. Hussein did not ever specifically request any parenting time. He left the custody evaluator with the impression that he wanted all or nothing, meaning full custody or nothing at all. And at trial, the only time he really discussed parenting time is when I asked him whether he believed Ms. Musa should have parenting time if he were awarded custody of Aisha. And this is in the transcript, page 27, lines 4 through 15. His response was, if she also changes her behavior and raise her as a mom and what is expected of a mom, then essentially he would allow contact between mom and Aisha if he were granted custody.
Counsel, in the district court's order, the district court says, for example, in paragraph 3, that father requests joint legal custody and joint physical custody with an award of reasonable parenting time. So what are we, you're saying that, well, he didn't voice that to the evaluator, but the district court seemed to acknowledge that this, there and then I think in other places in the order, that this was a request also for parenting time.
At trial, he gave no testimony as to any specific parenting time that he was requesting. And as I know you know, this is a case where Mr. Hussein lives in the state of Washington and Ms. Musa lives in the state of Minnesota. He didn't give the court any sort of groundwork by which the court could order any specific parenting time schedule. And so
what would that have to be when someone is seeking, as he was, joint or sole, I guess, depending at the time, physical custody? What does someone have to do in order to, in addition, lay the groundwork for parenting time when that's what they're trying to achieve?
Well, I think it would be appropriate for him to tell the court, if I'm not awarded custody of the child, what I would suggest you do for parenting time is allow visits in Washington State, you know, from time to time or during the summer when the child is not in school, or for me to come to the state of Minnesota with these parties also have another daughter that lives with Mr. Hussein. And I did try to ask him some questions about what he was proposing in terms of contact between these children and their mother, and basically he didn't give any sort of response other than mother needs to change her ways in order for that to happen. So,
isn't an abuse of discretion in this case that the father have absolutely no parenting time? I mean, because under this order, if the father comes to Minnesota and wants to visit the child, I don't know that this order even addresses that situation, does it?
No, the order just maintains the schedule that was set by the judge who was prior assigned to the case, and I'm not remembering which judge that was right now. And I understand that, you know, FaceTime is not considered parenting time. Phone calls are not considered parenting time. But the father has come to the state of Minnesota in the past, and mother has produced the child for him until there was an event at a park where father showed up with a group of people and tried to put the child in the car and leave, and the police needed to be called, or there happened to be a policeman on scene there. And so in some respects, I think the testimony given by Ms. Musa rises to a little bit of level of endangerment for this child, or fear that this child is just going to disappear. If Mr. Hussein had specifically requested or even comes now to specifically request a parenting schedule, I believe it's appropriate for the court to specifically address a parenting schedule. But there was no testimony about what schedule would be in the best interest of Aisha for her and her father. And so it's a little bit difficult for the court to address that question when the court's not provided any information about that.
So you don't read the order as prohibiting any future parenting time. It's just the court didn't have enough information to make a ruling on it.
That's correct.
And that's the case even though the court said father's granted parenting time, described it as such, in accordance with the previous order, et cetera.
Yes, that is my position, that Mr. Hussein can come and ask for a specific parenting time schedule. And
it wouldn't be a modification then of the parenting time in this order? It would be just, what would that be? Not a modification, it would instead be just a first time?
I believe it would be an initial parenting schedule. I also wanted to touch a little bit on, two things. One is the argument by Mr. Manson about trial.
Can I just stop you there? Because I just want to make sure, because your client was arguing for a total denial of any parenting time.
Correct.
And the judge basically did what your client asked.
Correct.
So, that's pretty, you'll have to agree that's pretty drastic for a court to say, to one parent, you have absolutely no parenting time, isn't it?
I think it is drastic. I think circumstances here warrant such a decision for a number of reasons. Well, the court didn't find there was enough information to make a finding of past domestic abuse. You clearly have to take these parties where they are in their mindset. And in my client's mind, she has suffered significantly horrific domestic abuse. She had concerns about the child being taken out of the country, possibly being subjected to a medical procedure that she did not agree to, concerns that the other child, Hyatt, who is in Mr. Hussein's care, may have already been subjected to that procedure. And there was the incident in the park where Mr. Hussein showed up with a big group of people and attempted to forcibly remove the child from Ms. Moose's arms and put her in a car. I think the
Is that in the findings?
There was testimony about that.
Is that in the findings?
In the trial transcript. I don't believe the court addressed that in the findings.
I mean, in fact, the court indicated, the courts basically said that they weren't able to find anything about this.
Correct.
This issue regarding circumcision, right?
There was no medical evidence to support or, I guess, deny that circumcision has happened for Hyatt, and whether it would actually happen for Aisha.
Well, however, here's my problem. I mean, and I just want you to explain to me, because it seems like a little inconsistent, because your client asked for no parenting time.
Correct.
For the father.
Correct.
The judge basically gave no parenting time.
Correct.
To the father. But you're telling me that with this order, that there's nothing stopping him from coming back now and asking for parenting time if he comes to Minnesota or if he comes up with a schedule. And I guess I'm trying to understand how you get there.
Parenting time was not addressed by the custody evaluator because it was the custody evaluator's impression that Mr. Hussein was saying, I want all or I want nothing, meaning I want the custody or I don't even want the parenting time. Mr. Hussein at trial testified he did not say that. However, that again was raised, I believe, in post-trial motions, and the judge clearly found that she believed that was Mr. Hussein's position. Now, in my mind, I guess she's thinking he doesn't want any parenting time if I don't give him custody. He didn't address parenting time through his testimony. I don't believe it's incumbent upon the trial judge to tell Mr. Hussein, you know, you need to address this if you want it. That's his job as a litigant. If he doesn't ask for it, and I realize he asked maybe in his pleadings for reasonable parenting time, but then after that had the custody evaluation where he led the custody evaluator and through the custody evaluator, the court, to believe he didn't want any parenting time if he didn't get the custody. I don't think there's anything stopping him from coming back at some point in the future and saying, now I would like to establish a parenting time schedule. But again, then he needs to do that through a proper motion and provide the proper testimony and foundation and framework for the court to apply the best interest factors to his requests and determine whether that request is reasonable or not. At trial, and as Mr. Manson pointed out, parties start with a position and then they change their mind. And he started with the position of I want joint legal custody and then apparently changed to I want sole legal custody. And, you know, it's my position, just the plain meaning of the statute, if neither party is requesting joint legal custody, there is no presumption for joint legal custody because the statute says upon request of either or both parties, joint legal custody is in the best interest of the child. Both parties were requesting sole legal custody by the time they got to trial here. So, you know, I think that falls along the same lines of the presumption, which he did not affirmatively address, and of the alienation issue. I don't believe those issues are even properly before this court. The judge took the testimony that she had. She took the exhibits that she had. She took the custody evaluation by a trained custody evaluator. took all of that properly into consideration and issued some very detailed findings. And she decided, based on all of those things, that it was not appropriate to award a parenting schedule for Mr. Hussein at this time.
Because that wasn't presented?
Correct.
So the court just continued the sole order that was already in effect?
Correct. And I'm trying to think of what judge had that prior, who issued the initial contact order for Mr. Hussein and the child. And I don't think there's any question that the judge has to consider the best interests of the child primarily above all else in making these determinations. And it appears from the totality of the circumstances, she believed it was in the best interest of Aisha not to have a parenting schedule with her father at this time.
So Nat just said it wasn't raised, but affirmatively found not to. Those seem a little different to me.
I mean, I can understand the distinction you're making. It was not raised, but it was not raised by Mr. Hussein, but my client raised the issue and said she did not believe or want Aisha to have parenting time with her father. She did not believe that that would be safe for her.
Well, and I'm trying to understand this order. I mean, did the judge deal with that issue, agree with your client, and outright deny parenting time, or did the judge not deal with the issue because your client didn't come forward with a schedule?
What I think happened, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. What I believe happened is, and you will see at some point in the transcript, after Mr. Hussein put in his case, the judge basically said, I don't think you need to put your case on. And I said to her, I feel like we do need to have some testimony from my client. The only way I can see her saying that to me in my own mind, the logical conclusion I can draw is because she believed the custody evaluator, and she is the person who gets to decide credibility here, over Mr. Hussein when the custody evaluator stated, Mr. Hussein told the custody evaluator, Ms. Hahn, it's all or nothing. I want full custody or I don't want anything. And
he actually said that.
Ms. Hahn said that. I believe the judge.
That she said that he said it's all or nothing.
That's what Ms. Hahn, the custody evaluator, said in her report, essentially.
Okay.
Thank you.
Obviously, part of the issue in this case is that we had a pro se party that was handling a trial, so the record may not be properly developed. I would note that my motion for amended findings did address the 25% presumption in my client's affidavit attached to the motion itself.
Thank you.
So it was raised in the motion for amended findings. And again, at the end of the day, the judge did not award any parenting time. Certainly could have done that. My client may be in Seattle, that's fine. The judge could have even made some allowance, you know, reasonable parenting time in during the summer. I know in our motion for amended findings, I think we put some specific proposals in our motion for amended findings for the judge in order to amend those provisions, where my client, again, was asking the alternative that he be allowed, you know, summer, holidays, things of that nature. So that is something the court certainly could have addressed it in the motion for amended findings.
Well, what do you think the order says? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what this order says. Did the judge deal with the issue of whether he should be denied all parenting time as proposed by the mother?
I believe that's what happened, very honestly. I think that this judge believed that my client had an all or nothing position, even though his testimony at trial was clearly indicated that that was not his position, that he did not say those things to the custody evaluator. He did raise concerns about the mother. not allowing contact with the child. While he may not have used the word alienation, he certainly did indicate that she didn't return calls, you know, that when he came, that he was assaulted when he tried to see the child. So at the end of the day, I do believe that's exactly what this judge was doing, was allowing no visitation, excuse me, no parenting time at all. And I think that was based upon her perception of something that my client certainly at trial testified that he did not make that statement. He did not have that position. And also the lack of any parenting time being addressed, or even reasonable parenting time. I mean, the court could have said reasonable parenting time as the parties may agree or what have you, but she didn't even do that. What she did was just state only Facebook, only this. I mean, there's nothing about coming to Minnesota. There's nothing enforceable. My client has no ability, no way. Granted, he could go in and maybe bring a motion, but then he's wasting time at that point, and we don't know what the judge is going to do at that point in time. What we do have is that there's an order out there that provides no parenting time. And at that point, the burden arguably is upon him then to show some type of change in circumstance, how this is in the best interest of the child, things that this judge overlooked and failed to address in its initial determination. The court also, again, did find that parenting time with either parent benefits the child. So what she did is totally inconsistent with her findings of fact and her conclusions as well. Because even after making that statement, she then did not award any parenting time. So really, the conclusions of law aren't supported by the findings that she made, particularly in the parenting time issue. And again, we would also argue on the joint legal issue as well, because the presumption just really wasn't per se addressed. My client testified that he attempted to mediate through elders. He attempted to get them involved and tried to work things out with the respondent. And, you know, the fear, obviously, is that if he's not allowed the joint legal custody, he's really marginalized. He's really kept out of this child's life, will continue to be kept out of the child's life. And the alienation is a big concern. While he may not have used that word, again, it's very clear throughout the custody evaluation report and my client's testimony and even respondent's position that she wants no contact between this child and my client, that alienation's occurring. As the court's aware, in that recent case of Amara, it's a big concern. It actually amounts to endangerment of a child, and I think that the court really didn't properly address that factor or that fact in its findings and at the time that it made its decision, Your Honor.
Well, and I'm looking at this. I mean, looking at the factors that may go into a complete denial of parenting time, is there anything here in the findings that you think that presumably support that you believe are clearly erroneous?
There's no finding that supports a complete lack of parenting time. She found that domestic abuse, I can't tell. It's neutral, I don't know. It's he said, she said, I have no corroboration, I can't make that call. She makes the finding that parenting time with either parent would benefit the minor child. That specifically is a finding. The rest of it just goes to my client's absent. He hasn't been in the child's life. And, thinking that he can move over to Seattle with no damage somehow warrants not having joint legal custody. A lot of children move. A lot of things change. And I don't think that that is something that's appropriate or appropriate finding.
Except that typically parents are aware that a transition or move like that is hard on a child.
They do, but by the same token, my client, his the siblings there, it's a split custody situation at this point. My client felt that he testified, sister's there, he believes that she'll adapt. So while it may be somewhat naive, I don't think it's necessarily inappropriate or something that should necessarily be held against him, Your Honor.
And Aisha says she has some interest in getting to know her father, though she frequently says she likes her home the way it is and would like her sister to live with her and Lensa.
And that's a big problem here, too. What the court did cut these sisters off to, and that's something that just isn't supported.
Well, it seems like the parents cut them off by what happened in 2012.
Oh, absolutely, Your Honor. I mean, circumstances, but ongoing, what the court ordered doesn't allow then any contact between the siblings. Thank you.
All right, thank you. We will take the matter under advisement and issue a decision within the statutory period of time. Thank you.